The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, July 7th, 2025.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. With me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Elaine.
What a nice day here in Sonoma County. So happy to be alive doing the show this morning. This is the first show in July. Can you believe, Ken, it's July? And I understand next week we're going to have a special program. We're going to have our second Men's Spaces. And who's the guest that we're going to have?
Yeah, for a special segment, Men's Spaces, we're going to have I'm going to be interviewing the author, Kieran Fox. He just wrote a book on Einstein. Is called I Am Part of Infinity, The Spiritual Journey of Albert Einstein. He happened to reference quite a bit from a book I worked on with my mentor, William Hermans. So it's going to be a very interesting interview. I encourage you to tune in to hear it. It'll be all about Einstein's ideas on cosmic religion.
I think it's just so exciting that we've added this special segment every month that we're going to have on. And I really want to thank you for producing this with me and for being here with me, Ken. My goodness,
you're so
welcome. We're into our 13th year sitting here every Monday morning. It's just amazing. And a neat thing happened this morning. We woke up and we discovered that one of the letters to the editor that I wrote for the Press Democrat appeared in the paper. And I thought I would read the letter. And this letter meant a lot to me. When I wrote it, I was feeling very despaired. And when I wrote it, it suddenly just lifted my spirits because I realized that I'm doing something to help me to feel a lot better about what's happening in the world. And also, because of what's happening in the world, I'm going to be doing several commentaries. I'm not going to have a guest. I'm my own guest this morning. So you folks will be hearing some of my opinions. So here, let me read the letter to the editor. It's in the Press Democrat this morning, Monday, the 7th of July. The headline was Working for Change. Editor, I am not surprised, as many of us saw this coming. Now it's here, and we all have to bear responsibility to stop dishonest and unprepared individuals from taking control. If we don't ask, we risk losing the most precious gift we share, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In a moment of reflection, I lit a candle and listened to three songs that gave me strength and clarity. Paul McCartney's Let It Be reminded me of my mentor, Marguerite Meyer's wisdom. You do 25% of the work, Elaine, and the Creator will do the rest. Neil Young's Light a Candle called me to keep the faith. And Ellen Bookstale's By My Silence, inspired by Martin Niemöller's First They Came For, reminded me that silence in the face of injustice is complicity. We must speak out. We must speak out for immigrants, for women, for the truth. My son-in-law believes the problem is we don't know each other. Let's change that. Stand up for your neighbor, your peace, or justice, and for the children who are our future. We must never lose sight of that. To those already working for change, thank you. Let's keep moving forward together. Wow, it's amazing when you see your words in the paper and you know that it's going out to many, many people. And I hope that inspires people to realize that we have to know ourselves, we have to know each other, and we have to get to know particularly our neighbors and pay attention to the issues. You know, pay attention to what's going on and don't be afraid to express your voice, to call your representatives and say, this is what I'd like you to do. This is what is not acceptable to me. It's very important. Well, with so much going on in the world, I thought I would do a commentary for this show. And also, it was 50 years ago. I can't believe it, 50 years ago. That's a half a century. that I was chosen to be one of the main speakers at my graduation in 1975 from Sonoma State University. My major was sociology. It was such an honor to be chosen and so exciting to give the speech. And, you know, it was very interesting about 10 years ago, I went to the library. I was doing some research for a friend of mine, and I had to go to the resource librarian. And for some reason, she recognized my voice. And she said, when did I graduate Sonoma State? And I told her 1975. She says, were you one of the speakers? And I said, yes. She says, well, we happened to find in the archives, we found the audio of the graduation speeches of 1975. So I was very, very honored to be able to have that, and I'm very honored to be able to share that with you. And what's so interesting about this speech, just a little background, I don't know how it happened. Suddenly I was on a list. You know, Marguerite Downard Wagner was the first woman president of the UC system, and she decided that for the graduation of 1975, she was going to have students speak. And so they did a kind of an election, and I was on this list. Finally, I discovered I was on the list, and guess what? I actually won. I was one of the three people chosen and the only woman representing women's studies, and it was very, very exciting. So I'm going to play that for everybody. And also, I will be commenting on the idea of children learn what they live. It's a simple and powerful guide to parenting the old-fashioned way, instilling values through example, inspired by Dorothy Law Nolte. And it was titled, Children Learn What Live What They Learn. Children Learn What They Live. And what was so interesting, when I first found that, I think my little girl was about maybe 5 years old or 6 years old, and it was such an eye-opener to me, you know. And it was a celebrated poem that she wrote in 1954, you know, looking at jealousy, praise, honesty, fairness, and more, you know, different ways and different values that we must inspire our children, because what they live, that's what they learn. You know, I think about these children in war zones, you know, or look what happened in Texas with these floods, you know, all of a sudden finding that because some of the cuts of, you know, some of our programs, that all of a sudden we are all in harm's way. You know, and here, what are these children growing up with? What kind of attitude are they going to have? How are they going to feel about the United States? How are they going to feel about each other living in these war zones and in poverty? Homelessness, all the things that's happening to children today. So I'm going to go through that, and I'm going to commentate on it. It's called Children Live What They Learn. Elaine, you have to slow down. You have to take a deep breath. You know, I'm just so excited about the show today. I really am. I just feel that the world is going through so many changes, so much awareness. You know, we have to be very, very careful not to be depressed, you know, but to take action, to do something. And when you do something, it makes you feel a lot better. Well, I have a few announcements to make. I want to do a shout out today to my dear son-in-law, David Jensen. Happy birthday, Dave. Dave was born on the 4th of July. He's an amazing man, a wonderful son, a wonderful husband, a wonderful father, and oh my God, watching him be a grandfather is just amazing. You know, my daughter Susan and Dave had been married for 35 years. What an accomplishment, and they're very, very successful. I'm very, very proud of them. So happy, happy, happy birthday, Dave. I wish you a continued life of health, prosperity, and loving relationships. Well, you know, I very rarely do something like this, but I'm going to do something just a little bit different. First of all, I want to thank everybody out there who contributed to Women's Spaces during our fundraiser here at KBBF. It was just amazing to see how many people came forward, you know, and I really want to thank you all from the bottom of my heart, and you know who you are. And also, I want to do a shout out to my dear sister Evelyn. She's on her way to, she's in Sonoma, she's on her way to teach a class, and she gets to listen to the first half hour of the show. So hi, Evelyn, glad to hear that you're such a good fan of mine. And a special shout out to two of my favorite women, Megan Gordon and Linda Franklin. Now, I know they're listening. listening. In fact, what I found out is that they're both psych technicians, and what I found out is they have the clock or their cell phone set for 11 o'clock to make sure that they tune into the show. So I really, really appreciate that. And let me know, you know, let me know what's going on. You know, how you like the show. You know, I love to get an email every once in a while from a fan. And then to my number one fan, and that's Randy Hurley. I know you're out there, Randy, listening. Thank you so much. And Randy was the first one to send Ken an email to tell him how much he appreciated the letter to the editor. So I really thank him. He is very, very, very supportive of the show, supportive of Ken. And so thank you so much to all my fans out there. You know, send me an email if you're listening. You know, I'm more than happy to say thank you over the air. If you have any kind of program that you want an announcement about, or someone's having a birthday or an anniversary, please, please feel free to give me an email. That's elainebholtz@gmail.com. And if you want to listen to some of the past shows, you go to Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces.com. Well, that's a lot to chew on this morning. So let's get into it, Ken. You know, it's time to play that graduation speech, and we'll do a little announcement about it. I want my listeners to know the speech is 7 minutes long. I made this speech in 1975, that's 50 years ago, in June. I can't believe it. We're 50 years. My God. Well, I'm 85 now. I was one of the oldest students in the class. I was 35 when I graduated Sonoma State, which shows you it's never too late. If anybody out there wants to go to school or just start a career or something, it's never too late. You know, Mother Jones, the artist, she started at 90 years old. I mean, you know, I was at school. I was in my 30s. I got my master's degree at 36. So it's just an amazing thing. But the idea of being chosen to be one of the speakers at my graduation was just amazing to me. And one of the greatest honors I had is that because I was a sociology major, actually the first day I came to Sonoma State and walked into my first sociology class, I got the honor of meeting Dr. Carl Jensen, who was a mentor to me, and he was walking me down to the stage while I was going to give my speech, and I was so nervous. Oh my God, I was so nervous and so excited. I mean, to think that my kindergarten report card stated Elaine should understand that children should be seen and not heard, and here I was, one of the main speakers at my graduation in 1975. All I could think of was, "You've come a long way, baby." And you know something? I'm so grateful. They tried to silence me like many, many other women, but they could not silence me. In fact, even today, they try to silence me. You know, I belong to an organization that tried to censor me for some reason, you know, and I just don't go there. You know, I think we have a right to speak out, you know, and some people don't like that, especially the ones who can't speak out. They tend to put a bag over the ones, or try to put a bag over the ones' head that can speak. So let's go ahead, Ken. We're going to play the graduation speech, and then after we play that, I'll be coming back, and I will be making a little bit of commentary, and we'll get on with the rest of the show. Go ahead, Ken. Here we go. Graduation at Sonoma State, Elaine B. Holtz, 1975.
Before I start my speech, I feel we should all applaud ourselves for being here. This is our graduation. It's not just us who are up here to be applauded, but we should all applaud each other. And our parents who made the long trip. I know my mother came from Los Angeles. That sound familiar? Graduating from Sonoma State means many things. Obtaining a Bachelor of Arts degree in sociology indicates to me that I've been able to overcome a very negative part of my personality. That part that said, I have no right to believe I could meet academic challenges and complete goals. The part that said a woman of 30 was crazy to believe she could return to college and set goals for herself. The part that said a human being has no right to do something for themselves, for their own growth and development. Well, folks, here I am at 35 with 5 years of commitment and growth behind me. And I'm finally beginning to realize the rewards for believing in the human potential. Speaking in front of you means I have broken many of the chains of my past, those chains being ones of insecurities and fears that would forever dictate to me, those irrational fears that would tell me a human being should not expose themselves, because what they are exposing might be very negative. Therefore, don't even bother to take a chance. I remember once while talking to a woman I just met, who just expressed she was very glad to meet me. However, she was surprised I was so nice, since I had a reputation of having a big mouth. At first, I was extremely insulted that someone would say that about me. But after dwelling on it for a while, I had to admit I was somewhat of an outspoken individual. I was always expressing something or other, and I began to feel a little proud of my reputation, because far too long women have remained silent. Students have remained silent. People in general have remained silent. And I believe the time has come for everyone to start opening their big mouths wide and be heard. For after all, in the final analysis, what have we got to lose? Especially when we get in touch with the fact that so much is taken away from us when we remain silent. Another prime reason I've chosen to speak is to use myself as an example for other women who might be thinking of returning to school, who have children and are experiencing anxiety about even thinking of such a thing, or perhaps for those who have already returned after the frustrations of being away for so long. It is my belief you can do it if you just believe you have the right to do it. So many times I wanted to quit. So many times I just couldn't take it. But now that it's over, I'm glad, because I got in touch with my strength and realized the faith of having value and having faith in yourself. Another important strength I've developed over the past several years is the ability to ask people for help. If we only give each other a chance, you'd be amazed of all we can do for each other. Along with my own personal growth and development, during these past 5 years as a sociology major and with the help of a very close friend, have gotten in touch with and grown to better understand why many of us experience the world we live in as being alienating and out of our control, and why as people we have to struggle so hard to gain any type of control over our lives. At one time, I believed that the individual was totally responsible for his or her own destiny, but that idea has changed. I realize now there are tremendous social forces that govern as well as condition human beings in a way as to control them. But I also realize it is not hopeless once we recognize that the social who brings upon that social control, and if we are willing to wage a struggle against having people control our lives and start taking a little bit control for ourselves. It is my belief that each one of us could ask, what can I do to aid in bringing about a more productive society? One where I have control in relation to what is going on, and act upon whatever answer he or she comes up with. I almost have this fantasy. Imagine if each one of us just took a tiny goal and then got together collectively, what could happen? It would just be amazing. I almost had this fantasy that we were gathering. Instead of graduating from Sonoma State, we were graduating to another type of world, a world that was free of war and oppression and all the other things I could name. At this point, I want to thank the people who have helped me to recognize my potential as a person. A special thanks to all those women involved in the Women's Study Program here at Sonoma State, who presented me with the opportunity to express myself on other levels outside of the classroom experience. There is a tremendous power in sisterhood, and being involved with women has and continues to be a very powerful experience. Being part of or teaching a women's studies class here is an experience I hope every woman out there enjoys while they're at Sonoma State. A special thanks to all the great counselors in the counseling center here. It's been great working with you, along with knowing you're there and all that Kleenex and all that other good stuff. And how could we miss but thank the financial aid department? Because I know damn well if they weren't there, I wouldn't be up here. And also a special thanks to my daughter, Susan, who for the past 5 years has felt the frustration and anxieties of term papers, tests, and elections right along with me. However, it's not over, Susie. We still have several years to go, perhaps a lifetime. Who can say, since in the final analysis, education is an everyday experience? I would like to end now by reading a quote from Eugene Debs. Why I chose this is because it kind of sums up a lot of my feelings about the world today. and kind of sums up my commitment and my feeling. In case nobody knows who Debs was, he ran 5 times under the socialist ticket in elections from 1900 to 1920. In fact, in the 1920 presidential election, he ran under the name of convict number 9653. He was in jail because he gave an anti-war speech. Years ago, I recognized my kinship with all living things, and I made up my mind that I was not one bit better than the meanest of the earth. I said then, and I say now, that while there is a lower class, I am in it. While there is a criminal element, I am of it. While there is a soul in prison, I am not free. Thank you.
Whoa, boy, did that bring back memories. As long as there's one person in jail, I am not free. As long as there's one person that's being knocked down in a protest, I am not free. As long as there's one child in harm's way, all children are in harm's way. Wow. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and you were listening to my graduation speech that I gave in 1975. It was actually, they put me on a list, and the student body voted for me, and I was really shocked. I want to do a shout-out for my dear friend, if he's listening, Miguel Molina. He was part of MECHA, and when he found out that I was on the list and I was running, he helped me to get as many votes as possible so I would be on that stage. An amazing experience. And you know, especially like I said on my report card, my kindergarten report card, and that's why that's so important what I'm going to talk about at the next segment is children learn what they live. But it's just really important to really invest in our children. Well, you know, we always do our history is our strength, and I'm going to do something just a little bit different this show. What I'm going to do is I'm going to play a song, a wonderful song by Beverly Grant. It's the ones who have gone before us, you know, who's really, it's very, very interesting. I mean, there's so many women, especially, you know, when you start looking at women in history, one of the things that's been astounding to me is how many women of color and the contributions that they've made. You know, Native American women, some of the inventions that they came up with. You know, black women, you know, during the time of slavery to make lives a lot easier for a lot of different people. And as we move forward, I mean, it's really mind-boggling when you start thinking of all the women, all the shoulders that were standing on. So let's go ahead and play that song, The Ones Who Have Gone Before Us, sung by Bev Grant. And then when we come back, we are going to do Our History is Our Strength. So let's go ahead, Ken.
Situation calls for something new. There are times we cannot see what's just ahead, but still we know there is a life to be led, a path to follow. Must go. bubbling through that will remake us.
When I listen to that song, I just start crying because I realize that two people in our community, Alice Waco and Gloria Robinson, they were two women that really inspired me on so many levels, that they are no longer with us. But we are standing on the shoulders. And then as I was listening, then I was thinking of Molly McGregor and the group of women that gathers developed the National Women's History Project, which is now called the National Women's History Alliance. You know, before them, we had no idea of how much history women had before us. So the shoulders that we're standing on are very, very strong. You know, I think of Ida B. Wells. You know, I think of Sojourner Truth. You know, I think of, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You know, I think of Polly Murray. All these women that we're standing on the shoulders of is just an amazing thing. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And since we're standing on the shoulders, this, here we go. Our history is our strength. You know, I remember walking down to class with Molly Murphy McGregor, you know, and she was telling me, oh, my God, you know, J.J. Wilson and Karen Anderson are going to be writing this book about women in art. And I said, really? Are there women artists? I mean, you know, just what did we know? I mean, it was just such a mind-boggling experience to have your heart and your mind opened up to so many things. Well, let's go into our history, our strength. You know, why do I do this? Because it's so important, because sometimes we get discouraged. You know, I have to do shout-out to so many. You know, my friend Linda Hemingway out in Petaluma, she sends out a newsletter every other week, or actually, I get announcements from her all the time, you know, just getting all the information together and making announcements. And these are all volunteers. Just like me, I'm a volunteer on the radio. You know, I mean, this is an experience from the heart. Let me tell you something. Well, here we are. This is July 7th. We just experienced July 4th, you know, and which is when we had the Declaration of Independence, which came out in 1776. But this is July 4th, 1876, 100 years later. Suffragists crashed the centennial celebration in Independence Hall. To present the vice president with the Declaration of Rights of Women, written by Matilda Jocelyn Gage. This declaration was written, who helped write it was Susan B. Anthony, Jocelyn Gage, and Elizabeth Cady Stanton on the behalf of the National Women's Suffrage Declaration. For the 1876 Independence Day ceremony in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, five members of the women's suffrage movement, Susan B. Anthony, Matilda Jocelyn Gage, Sarah Andrews Spencer, and Lily Devarix Blake, and Phoebe H. Cousins, were given the platform to present this to these people. You know, to say, hey, wait a minute, you know, what's going on here? You know, we had the Declaration of Independence, and women still don't have the right to vote. Very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. And here we are, 2025. And when I think, when I made that graduation speech, all that we have gained, we had the right, the freedom of choice over our own bodies. You know, our bodies, ourselves came out, that we were all of a sudden exploring together and looking at things together. And here we are in 2025, and we're still struggling. Only now they're trying to take away everything that we've gained. So it's no different from when these women were bringing the Declaration of Women to this group, this body of men. It hasn't changed very much, has it, when you start thinking about it? You know, it's very, very interesting how life goes on. You know, women struggled like crazy. And on July 7th, 1981, President Reagan nominates Sandra Day O'Connor as the first woman Supreme Court Justice. Well, baby, we've come a long way. We got a woman on the Supreme Court. Now we go and we kind of go ahead. We go ahead about maybe 20 years. And now we have an election between Gore and Bush. And there was a big controversy around it. People remember, you know, they were counting the votes. You know, there was all kinds of discrimination going on. They were looking at fraudulent things. And before you know it, the Supreme Court ends up intervening on the voting. And Sandra Day O'Connor was the one that said, no, George Bush is the president. They didn't want to continue the vote. I remember sitting there listening. I was shocked. I was totally shocked. Because it was a woman who made the final vote. I mean, I never forgot that. But anyway, we did get a woman on the Supreme Court in 1981. And we still have women on the Supreme Court. And yet we've lost our right to control our own bodies. I cannot figure that one out. Well, here's another birthday for July 4th. This woman was born in 1898 and made her transition in 1997. Wow. She lived to be almost 100 years. Pilar Barbosa de Rosario. She was a historian and a teacher and the first woman to teach at the University of Puerto Rico in 1921. She established the history and socials department there, and she was named the official historian of Puerto Rico in 1993. Wow, what an honor that was. Here's another interesting birthday that I think is just fascinating, and that she was born July 5th, 1899, and made her transition in 1990. I mean, just think, a woman born in 1899 and makes, you know, her name is Anna Hedgman. She was a civil rights activist and educator. She was the first African woman, American woman, to serve in the cabinet of New York mayor in 1954 to 1958, and she helped plan the 1963 March on Washington. And you know what's so interesting about the March on Washington in 1963? What was so interesting about that is that where were the women? You know, Joan Baez got to sing, and that was the end of it. The rest was all male. There was a little bit of a controversy there. I mean, you know. As women, it's always very difficult for us to get a place at the table when you start looking at it. You know, and that's why we have to be so vigilant. We have to stay and we have to keep speaking out and not being afraid of that. Like I said, many times people have tried to censor me and I say, hey, what are you talking about? You know, we have freedom of speech in this country. I'm allowed to say, if you don't agree with me, let's debate about it. The only thing where I draw the line is don't insult me publicly. Here's something. This woman, I'll tell you, July 7th, she was born 1915, they made her transition in 1998, and that's Margaret Walker. She was a poet, a novelist, and her poem, For My People, that was written in 1942, won the Yale Series of Younger Poets Award. And she also wrote the novel Jubilee in 1966. But what happened when I found this For My People, I really recommend that you go onto the internet and type in For My People and read that poem. It's a long, long poem. In fact, I'm thinking very seriously at some point I'm going to have a reading on the air here. It is such a powerful poem. It really talks about the struggles of African American women. And I think it really does merit some attention, that's for sure. And then here's one last person here. July 13th, 1910 is when she was born, and in 1983 she made her transition. And I was surprised about this one. Her name is Josefa Nickley. She's a playwright. She moved to North Carolina from Mexico after penning prize-winning short stories, wrote the first novel, Mexican Village, in 1945. But what was so interesting about her is that she was one of the scripts writers for The Twilight Zone. Ken, do you remember The Twilight Zone?
I certainly do.
Yeah, can you believe a woman was the one that was writing scripts? And, I mean, it was just a fascinating show, that's for sure. Well, that's a lot to think about. But our history is our strength. When we realize that we're standing on the shoulders of some of these women, that they took risk to speak out. You know, for my people, that poem is so riveting. I can't wait to do a performance on it. It just tells the story of what women struggle through. You know, so it's very important that we look at our history. You know, at one time we had no idea. I want to thank the National Women's History Alliance, Molly Murphy McGregor again, who has retired. I get all my information about the women, different women in history. It's just amazing. Before the Women's History Project came into being, we had no idea. We hardly had any information in our history books about women. I mean, sure, we knew about Amelia Earhart, but that was about as far as it went. And now that we're educated, it's amazing when we see the shoulders that we're standing on. It's very, very exciting. Well, excuse me. We are going to take another musical break, and the song I'm going to play is Teach Your Children Well, and it's sung by Susan McCann. It's a perfect song, because when we return, I'm going to comment on the saying, Children Live What They Learn, written in 1954 by Dorothy Law McNulty. She's a woman who understood the field of positive youth development before it was invented, 70 years ago, and what she wrote still holds true today. So let's go ahead and play Teach Your Children Well, sung by Susan McCann. Ken.
You're on the road, must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. So teach your children well, your father's hell is slowly gone by. Just look at them and sigh, and know they love you. And you, of tender years, can't know the fears that your elders seek the truth before they can die. So teach your parents well, their children's hell will slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they paid, the one you know by. Then why, if they told you, you would cry. Just look at them and sigh, and know they love you. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you, you would cry. Just look at them and sigh.
Yes, teach our children well. Teach them how to love themselves, how to love each other, how to love their neighbor, how to love everything that's around them, and how to treat it with respect. I mean, there's so much. I mean, I can't wait till we go through this whole poem. I don't know if you call it a poem or this whole thing of children learn what they live. Anyway, welcome back. Were you just joining? I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, its board of directors, its members, and Women's Spaces. Wow, we're back on the air. So much to go through. Welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And for this portion, I'm going to go over the 1954 poster, Children Live What They Learn, by Dorothy Law McNulty. She was a woman who understood the field of positive youth development before it was invented. And what inspired me to talk about this reading was that in our local the papers, I read about gang activity, racism, and violence that's on the rise in our schools. And it seems the best way that we can kind of address the problems is start looking and thinking, what are we teaching our children? You know, what is going on here? You know, arresting and violence is not the answer. There's got to be a better way of going. And then when we start looking at, they're going to start cutting the funding for public schools and put more into private schools. I mean, come on. One of the greatest inventions that we had in this country is to have public schools, that everybody had an equal right to education. And we've never properly invested in it. So what ends up happening is you can find all kinds of errors and all kinds of things that are not going on right. So let's go and let's listen to this and let's analyze it a little bit. Children live what they learn. Okay, here we go. If children live with criticism, they learn to condemn. If children live with hostility, they learn to fight. Now, this is an interesting line. If children live with hostility, they learn to fight. Believe it or not, I was a fighter because I was so frustrated about some of the things that were happening to me that I took it out in anger in that way when I was a younger person. If children live with ridicule, they learn to be shy. If children live with shame, they learn to feel guilty. If children live with encouragement, they learn confidence. If children live with tolerance, they learn to be patient. If children live with praise, they learn to appreciate. If children live with acceptance, they learn to love. If children live with approval, they learn to like themselves. You like that one? If children live with approval, they learn to like themselves. Just think about how many times you've heard a parent call their child dumb, or you're not going to make it in the world, or whatever, you know, put them down. If they live with approval, they'll learn to like themselves. If they learn with disapproval, that's when the anger comes. It's just very, very interesting. If children live with honesty, they learn truthfulness. If children learn with security, they learn to have faith in themselves and others. If children live with friendliness, they learn the world is a nice place in which to live. You know, when you think about that, if children live with friendliness, they learn the world is a nice place in which to live. If children live with honesty, they learn truthfulness. Look at the propaganda we're getting today. Look at some of these children's games. I mean, some of these video games are so violent. You know what? We have to really take a back seat. We have to sit down and we have to think about, what are we giving to our children today? What are we teaching them? You know, and I turn on the television sometimes and I see the destruction that wars are causing. You know, and I see these children walking with these big eyes or crying because they can't find their parent. What is that child learning? And what happens inside of them when they find out that maybe the United States is contributing to the economy and to the bombing of some of these situations? You know, we really have to look at our behaviors and what those behaviors are creating. And one of the most interesting things to me was, of course, you know, I mean, being 85 years old, I've lived through all these elections. But I'll never forget one day when I was listening to a speech by Ronald Reagan. And he actually emphasized that government was the problem because there were too many regulations. Well, you know, government is supposed to be there to make sure that the world is running a little bit smoother, that there's some equality, that people, everybody's getting a fair chance. You know, when we pay taxes, the taxes are to support our schools, to support taking care of the environment. You know, right now they're cutting so much money off of Medicare that right now in these little rural areas, hospitals are going to be closed down. So what does that do in the child's psyche if all of a sudden there's such a struggle for the very basics of medical care? So we really have to start looking at that. And I think as a parent out there, go on the internet and type out this, children live what they learn, and give yourself a little checklist. I remember when I first read it, I gave myself a checklist. I thought, what was I providing for my daughter? You know, what kind of example was I giving her? And I think that was one of the most important things for me when I went back to school. And I showed her that it's never too late. You can always do once you have a vision. And let me tell you something. She's visualized many things and is very successful today, and I'm very proud of her. But I think a lot of it had to do with when I went through that checklist. Because at the time, I never thought of those things. I was never taught how to be a mother. You know, you just had a baby and that was it? Well, you know, how do you raise it? You know, when I finally found something like this, Children Learn What They Live, I started thinking about what kind of environment was I giving her. So it's really, really important. Well, we've come to just about the end of our segment. Ken, how much time do we have left? We got about 10 minutes left. And I'm going to play this song. The song I'll be playing is People Have the Power, sung by Patti Smith. And I think it's very important that we stand up and that we recognize that as a body of people, you know, what's so beautiful about our country is we elect our representatives. It's unfortunate that we have this Citizens United that put money into the equation. But even with the money, if we follow the money, we can find out who's supporting who, and that's how we make our vote. But the most important thing is to recognize the power that the people have. You know, in the Constitution of our United States, the first words are, we the people. That's you and I. We're Americans. We have a right to freedom. We have a right to have free speech. We have freedom of religion. We have so many wonderful things that they're trying to take away from us. When we need to improve, not make it harder for us. So let's go ahead, Ken. We're going to play People Have the Power. It's a pretty long song, I believe. Let me see how long it is. Yes, it's 5 minutes long. So we're going to play that, and then by the time the song ends, we'll come in and we'll say our goodbyes. So go ahead, Ken. Let's go ahead and play that. Yes, people have the power. Thank you, Patti Smith, for writing and singing that wonderful song. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And we're just at the end of our segment, and I just have to, I have one announcement to make that I just don't want people, I want you to mark your calendars for August 30th, 2025. It's going to be the fourth annual African Soul Festival. It's going to be happening in Rohnert Park at their City Center Plaza at 475 City Center Drive in Rohnert Park. You know, I just, Ruben is a real good friend of mine who is the organizer of this, and I just want to make sure that people mark it on their calendar because it's another way to get to know our brothers and sisters of color. And also, I found out a little bit of trivia that it looks like there's some issues around hospice here in Sonoma County, and I want people to know that people have been protesting and speaking out against it, and I want to find more about it. So on the 21st, we're going to be having these folks on. And also next week, our show is going to be the second segment of Men's Spaces, and I want to make sure that people know about that. Well, a reminder, always, you know, this has been a wonderful show for me. I'm happy every once in a while to do a commentary. We just got a phone call from one of our fans, John. I'm sorry, I didn't get his last name. Thank you so much for calling. And he commented on the graduation speech that he really enjoyed it and he likes listening to the show. So thank you so much, John, for taking the time to call. And I don't know how I can do this, but please, 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 if you're listening to the show and you like it or you don't like it or you got some suggestions, please email me at ElaineBholtz@gmail.com. You know, I'm always happy to announce birthdays, anniversaries, and all that other stuff, but if you don't let me know about it, I can't do it. You know, and a reminder that the show will be on again tonight at 11 o'clock. I'm excited I get to listen to it, and I'm also available for speaking engagements. I'd love to do presentations on the Women's Spaces Pledge, on working and talking about self-esteem. And also, you can go to www.womenspaces.com, and you can always listen to any of the past shows. You know, everything is archived there. In fact, that has been my goal. My goal is to archive as many women as I can. And now that we're going into this Men's Spaces segment, it's very exciting to me to see all the wonderful work that, that men are doing. And as I do at the end of every show, I remind my listeners, our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. And remember, children live what they learn, and we have a lot to teach them. This is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, July 7th, 2025.